Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Can you remember the last time that you put together a puzzle? The box contained a picture, and the goal, the challenge, was to jump out those 1,000 or so pieces, each one containing just a small portion of that larger picture. Now, ask anyone, we all have our own strategy. Some like to put the border together first. It allows some sort of containment, some sort of direction forward. Others like to focus in on a certain part of the picture, looking for all of the pieces and fitting them together in that one area. And still others like to sort all of the pieces at once. And the reason I bring all of this up, because the gospel reading today might invoke memories of the last puzzle you put together. And here's what I mean. First, there's a discussion about the greatest. And Jesus answers with talk of a child. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." And immediately after that, it seems that Jesus changes the subject as he begins to talk about the temptations of sin in a person's life. And then immediately after that, it seems that he switches topics yet again to discuss lost sheep. Starting in verse 10, he says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And then, if it was not confusing enough, he lays out a set of rules for dealing with a brother who has faulted you. And then he ends with this, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." So what are we to make of all of this? Each portion of today's gospel seems to be a separate piece of a larger puzzle. And each piece feels like it's separated as far from each other as it can be. How do they all fit inside one frame? What kind of picture do they paint? And here's the thing. We may not have the box cover today in front of us, but I can describe that picture to you. A picture is titled, His Love, Your Baptism. And the vantage point is from heaven. You see, you are in the center. You're standing in the middle of a gently flowing river. And above you is heaven and God seated at His throne. And Jesus is standing to His right. And He's looking down with mercy and love at you. He knows you inside and out. He knows every sin, every thought, and every deed. But He also knows every hair on your head. And so He's smiling as He looks down and directs the Holy Spirit to descend upon you and take residence in your heart. And with the other hand, He's pointing you to the source of that river, the cross where He was crucified. And He's reminding you that the blood He shed, the blood that He willingly shed, is now the baptismal river that washes you clean. You see, you are a forgiven brother of Christ. And it washes you clean not only by washing over you, but by washing through you. You're not simply washed. You've been reborn. Your old self has been buried with Christ in the tomb. And your new self has been raised from the dead. You see, you're not simply cleaned. You're new. And just as that river washes through you, you see that love flows through you as well. It flows from the Holy Spirit through you and into the rest of the world. In Paul's words from today's epistle reading, he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." You see, that is how all of these pieces come together. They come together in love and in forgiveness. They come together in a new life, in the gospel. They come together as God's good news. And we're all invited to respond. And we respond by humbling ourselves and serving others. When we focus on the work of Christ that He has called us to complete, and when we spend less time gaining the world and more time saving others from it, and when we chase after every person who we find straying away from God, and when we walk with them, when we guide and encourage them, and when we help them lead back to Christ, that's when we're the greatest. You see, we don't just go back to the river ourselves. We invite them We bring them to the banks and we show them that same picture that brought us there. And we put the puzzle together for them. We don't leave them in pieces. We put them together and we make them whole. We do that through God's work. That's how we participate in His work. And we do it with everyone we meet. If your enemy is hungry, Paul says, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And when we find that we have been faulted, we confront them, not for vengeance and not for repayment, but for the sole purpose of bringing them back into a relationship with Christ. You see, the goal is not recompense to us, but reconciliation to God. And it's difficult to do. Maybe nearly impossible without the baptismal union that we have with Christ. Our personalities get in the way. And our wants and our desires and our judgments get in the way. But we must remember the picture. We're standing in God's water. He wills all to receive it, to stand in it, to get wet, to let the water flow through them. He wills that all die and be reborn. That goes against our human nature. Sometimes we see the world through our eyes and forget to see it through His. You see, that's the picture that is painted today. One that is on our box. And it's not a still image. It's not a moment in time. It's like a flowing river that has no end. It's a living story of grace and of mercy. It's one that shows what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross and how we are to respond to it. It's a living story of relationships between God and us, and between us and each other. And it's a story that pulls us back to the cross every time we fail, every time we fall short of God's expectation. And it's a story where at the cross, we are reminded of our baptism and our life that we now live in Christ. It's a story of the triune God, a story that He allows us to participate in. Can you see your life on that box? Please pray with me. Lord, through our baptism, we have become adopted sons of God. Through our baptism, we have received the Holy Spirit, which now kindles inside of us the knowledge of God and a desire to point others to Him. Work in us to extend Your kingdom to the four corners of the earth through the relationships that we foster and through the acts that we do. In Your name we pray. Amen.